All right, so welcome back to another podcast of The Raven and the Road. Today we have special guest Brady, John Brady.
Hey, y'all.
He is the production manager at the Neighborhood Theater here in Charlotte. Does a lot of work with Elevation and also a whole lot of freelance, so a whole lot of local venues here around town as well. So welcome, and you know,
thanks for taking time off.
Appreciate it. So just kind of getting in, how did you first kind of get into production?
Funny story. Even in elementary school, I wanted to be like behind the scenes stuff. Like I didn't really like being in the spotlight, in the limelight, whatever. I mean, being a shy kid. We did a play in elementary school, and I remember like I didn't want any of the lines. I wanted to mess with all the knobs in the back. Mm. You know what I mean? All the adults were like, "Don't touch that." I'm like,
right.
"Yeah, here we go." I know what I was doing, but it didn't matter. So growing up, middle school was doing like the church stuff. You know, just helping schlep cables. I still had no idea what I was doing. Right. And then I started coming to Neighborhood Theater as a kid and Visualite and all these local venues, and I fell in love. I fell in love with live music. Listen to like jam bands too, so it really comes with that territory. Mm. So I wound up going to school for it, up at Asheville. Got a music tech degree, and again, yeah, I just fell in love with that like fast paced. Mm. You one and done. You got one shot to do this right. I love that so much. I love that so much.
Heck yeah, all the pressure.
Yeah, yeah. And when you pull it off, man, it ain't nothing like it. Right. It's really not. It's like riding. I don't surf, but. Mm. I imagine it's like riding that crest. Mm. At any moment, you could just eat it or just do something really cool. So I love that.
So with that, I mean, was there a moment where everything just kind of clicked and you were like, this is.
Yeah, like... absolutely. Yeah. So like I said, went to school for it. Yeah. You know, kind of got a few of those moments in school. Not so much, but I was working at some crappy bar gig. And I knew one of my buddies was like, "Hey, I'm setting up this venue. It's like kind of small venue. And can you come help?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." You know, so we kind of set it up. I kind of knew what I was doing. I kind of fumbled my way through it. And then he was like, "All right, well, my first show is this time." I was like, "Oh, you know, okay." He didn't really invite me to like come do it with him. And I was like, "Okay, whatever." It was still cool to you know, set up a venue. Never done that before. So he calls me and he's like, "Dude, I can't get this to work. Blah, blah, blah." Like, we're an hour behind schedule. It's like a festival. He's like, "All the bands are pissing me. Can you come down here?" And I'm like, "Absolutely."
Right.
And so like it was kind of a rookie mistake he was making. Mm. And so I like proverbially shoved him over, fixed it, and just went bam right into it. And that feeling was amazing. Because like the crowd's like pissed, and all of a sudden like we get it up and going, and I was like, I know.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, granted, it was like 50 people, but like, no, still, like just fresh out of college. I was in like my early 20s. And that was it. I knew right then and there. I'm like, this feeling, I want this all the time. Yeah, all the time.
That's so cool. Well, I feel like I was saying too, and it's almost like IT where, you know, when no one's complaining, that's how, you know, you did a good job, right?
Right? Yeah, no one knows I'm doing a good job. Right. Everyone knows I'm doing a bad job.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay with that.
Yeah. So were there any, like, resources kind of as you were getting up and going that really helped you, like develop those skills?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So my first like real quote unquote professional gig was an A2. So like an audio assistant. Mm. And you got your A1 who does the front of house and stuff. And your A2 is kind of patch guy running cables, setting up mics and stuff. And so working with that guy, Alex, he was my Yoda. And so I'm just soaking up everything that he's doing, asking questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And there's no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And so soaking that up, learning a lot from him, really kind of got me to at least a starting point of like, all right, cool. So I'm going to follow what he says to do because he's been doing it for a long time. I mean, you can kind of, at the same time, I was still looking up like YouTube videos and podcasts, and well, podcasts weren't that popular back then, but same difference, you know, just like interviews with the titans of the industry, Robert Schofield, Dave Ratt, those guys, textbooks. I bought textbooks and just, I'm serious, man. Like I am obsessed with this industry a lot. Wow. And there's a lot of drive, a lot of passion into it. I mean, I literally have XLR tattoos. Like, yeah. Slightly obsessed. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, on the job training is so crucial. Because again, you can read a textbook, you can watch a YouTube video, but if you're not in it doing it, it's pointless. It's pointless. You can only learn. And that's not true. I learn the best from hands-on, from doing it, making mistakes, figuring out why I made a mistake, learning from others. So that's not necessarily specific resources, but like, find somebody who is in the industry and just ask a lot of questions.
Soak it all up.
Yeah. God, if they're cool, if they're cool with it.
Yeah. Right.
If they're not, it's right. really obnoxious. It's really obnoxious when you're trying to do your job and some random person comes up. You're just like, calm down. Calm down.
So I guess getting into like a little bit more specifics and into like, you know, a day in the life of Mr. Brady here. What kind of work do you do?
Sure. Yeah. So the theater, I'm the production manager, which I tell people, rule of thumb, anything on the stage, it's my responsibility. So even when I'm not at the theater, I'm working. So I'm doing what's called advancing emails, meaning what do you guys need from us? What we need from y'all? What time you're going to show up? How many people? What do you have? You know, stage plots, input lists. Can we accommodate that? Parking, which is obnoxious here because we only have three spots. there used to be a gravel lot in the back. Now it's an apartment complex. So even before that, and the scheduling. So I got to schedule the techs, the stage hands. Make sure it's gotten a lot better. I have a strong crew right now. A strong crew that I've been waiting 4 years, 4 years for to have like this strong of a crew. But that's all like the quote paperwork that I have to do. And then on a day-to-day basis, you know, show up about an hour before the band does. The crew shows up about 30 minutes before the band does. And then on bigger shows, we'll load in like a big old trailer. So there'll be like a bus and trailer. So we'll load out all their gear, all the back line, like instruments and stuff, all their audio gear, all their lighting gear. Which takes about like 30 minutes. It's heavy. It's work. It's work. Like physical work. And then we help them set up with all their stuff. Or if it's just the band and the house techs are doing everything, we load in the back line, load in all their instruments. They get set up, and then we set up mics and cables and subsnakes and make an input list, make a patch sheet, set out the wedges, the monitors. And hopefully I'm not speaking over or under anyone, but
no, so it's just super organized. Yeah, no,
absolutely, man, absolutely. Oh. That is the crucial part of this industry. Is you're not organized, you're screwed.
Right.
but so it's bigger venues. There's a specific production manager, and then there's a specific, it's called front of house engineer. I am both, which I'm 100% okay with. Love it, love it. Because I get a salary plus a day rate for you know, so that's, I kind of can't be just the production manager. So if there's not a guest engineer that like the band is bringing themselves, I'll mix the band. Which again, that's my passion. I love that so much. I love it. I love it. Cause I mean, front of house engineers are considered the last person in the band. You know what I mean? Like you can really have a crappy show or a really good show depending on how your front of house engineer is. Same thing with your monitor engineer, like the guy or the engineer who mixes all the wedges, monitor, speakers, whatever, on stage. So if you have a crappy monitor engineer, you can't hear yourself. You're not going to play very well. I do that sometimes, but I'm really that front of house guy. I like listening to things loud. Very loud. Very loudly. But yeah, and then we'll load out. We'll load out, do the exact same thing in reverse.
Okay.
It's bigger shows. It's 12-hour days, 12, 13, 14-hour days. Yeah. Easy days are like 6-hour days, which is good, but like it kind of evens itself out. But honestly, I like the big shows because there's a lot more going on. It's harder, and the payoff is way better.
Oh.
Yeah, especially if I get to mix, which is fun, which is a lot of fun.
Man, yeah, I had no idea it's so much like back end work went into that.
Oh yeah, People think, people literally think I just sit there and press buttons. You see about 3 hours of what I do. The other nine are closed, closed to the public.
All right. So kind of getting into like your personal skills side of things. What do you feel like makes a really successful front of house sound engineer outside of knowing how that equipment works.
Those technical skills, yeah. So I mentioned it earlier, organization is key. Because again, you have a time deadline. You have doors. You have set time. And it has to be all done and somewhat decent to start. And so if you're not organized, it's going to take you that much more time. And you're going to screw up. And you, some people think they have it up in their head, but when you're dealing with 30 inputs, six monitors or wedges on stage, mics, cabling everywhere, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. That's something I've learned big time. I've learned what not to do with that.
Yep.
Because I've screwed up a gig and I'm like, well, I screwed it up because I didn't take the time on the front end to write everything down, think about what I'm doing, and then executing that. Because I mentioned it earlier, it's called patch. So basically you have, let's just say, a vocal mic downstage center. Well, the stage box that it goes into, like the input, 30 feet away. So you have what's called a subsnake out. So it's basically just a box that you plug from the microphone 10 feet down to that. And then that goes, and that's like usually 12 or 9 or 16, whatever. So you can plug in all those, then that goes to the stage box, but it's not necessarily one-to-one. Like one doesn't go into one, two doesn't go into two.
Right.
So, and sometimes the way I do it, it's like Rain Man stuff. Like, it's just like, if you see, I should have brought it in here. Like, I have to explain to some of my crew, like, all right, this is how I do it. It looks like hieroglyphics,
right?
But it works, and I'm organized, and it works. And so patch sheet. So yeah, so you have to write down what the microphone is. You have to write down where it's going into that subsnake and where that subsnake is going into the stage box. And I color code everything. And that's another thing about organization. I color code everything. So the cables are color coded by length. The snakes are color coded by the numbers that it is. I mean, they're all labeled.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got 16 tails and you're trying to fish through number 9, I'm like, well, I know that's the white one.
Right.
I know that 3 is the orange one. If you've ever at elevation, people be like, which year's mine? Am I yellow or orange? Right. And that's why, because it's like, I don't, you know, cause sometimes the numbers are really small. So it's just like, I'd rather just look and be like, okay, well, there's purple. All right, well, there's green. Cool. And just patch it in, because you're dealing with a bunch of stuff. And so all that's color coded. The snakes themselves are color coded, like green, orange, yellow, pink. And if you don't do that, again, you're screwed. You're absolutely screwed. Because I've messed up a gig big time doing that, not writing it down, thinking I had it in my head, and I didn't during the middle of a show. Yeah, exactly. It's not fun. It's, you will never make that mistake again.
No. That's always been a big thing with me too, is like, you know, whether personal life or like professional, like if I make some kind of mistake, you know, the least I can do to kind of honor like those people that I've flubbed up on, is just to do better. Like, what can I?
Yeah,
you know,
how do I make that?
At the very least, otherwise better. It's just, you know, it was kind of all for nothing.
Exactly. Learning lessons.
Yeah.
I've been in this industry for 8 years, excluding college. So, 8 years. eight and a half? I don't remember. 2013. So yeah, 8.5. I've screwed up a lot. Yeah. Not anymore. I'm perfect.
Right. Well, yeah.
No, I mean, I've got everything.
You know who I am?
Yeah, right. I'm the
right.
No, I've got everything pretty dialed in, and I've learned, like I said, I've learned from others. That's what I love about being a house engineer here, is that I see people that come in, use my gear, use my stage, my setup in new ways or better ways or efficient ways. Or they're like, hey, I noticed this about your PA, like your main speakers. And I'm like, huh, okay, cool. So I'll learn from that. I'll try that. You know, if it works, it works. If not, then I'm like, okay, interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by like learning from others who are better than you. And so you don't really get that as much as a touring engineer. Mm-hmm. You get to see different venues touring as a touring engineer, because I was on the road for a while. That got my ears chopped, my ear chops, right? So that got me like listening to the same band. I know what the band should sound like.
Right.
I'm listening to it on different consoles. I'm listening to it with on different PAs. I'm listening to it in different rooms. And so I'm starting to hear these specific frequencies or these specific, like, okay, well, I know this PA, it's probably gonna sound like this. Well, I know this console, I know I gotta do this. But I'm not learning organizational things. I'm not learning that other side of it, of like, how do I make this more efficient? Because I'm not seeing other people. It's just me and the tour, or the band, whatever, touring band. So as a house guy, it's my, you know, it's the same stuff. It's the same PA. It's the same room. But I get to see them do cool stuff, and new stuff that I wouldn't have ever. That was the biggest. Yeah, the first like year being here, I learned a lot, a lot. Because again, I'm learning from people who are better than me.
Yeah.
And that's
and having
crucial.
Those like controlled variables. Too,
that's exactly right.
Change,
that's exactly right. As a house engineer, I got those controlled variables, and I get to see how they do it, see if it works, watch their screw ups,
right?
Yeah, watch their screw ups. Being like, I'm never doing that. Yeah, like this one guy. Awesome. Oh, so sweet. That's Schadenfreude. Sweet. Because he was right off the bat. I'm like, man, you kind of suck, dude. And so I'm listening. His mix sucks. Like it's during sound check. But he kept getting this massive feedback, crazy feedback. And I'm like, dude, that mic in this room on this console, you ain't getting something's wrong. I kept telling him, like, oh, man, this PA sucks. But I can't believe I've never had this problem. And I'm like, dude, I've been here for like at the time, like 3 years, like 2.5 years. Like, that's pretty solid. Like, I literally do this every day. Mm. And what happened was, when you have a wireless mic, you always put a wired spare mic. Like, just in case that wireless goes wrong, or literally any, like, your center vocalist.
Yeah, the OS mic.
Yes, exactly. Mic. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep. I haven't heard it called that in a long time. But yeah, that's exactly right. Or even if your main part, or the main point of the band is the singer, you always have a backup. You always have a spare mic. So this guy's getting massive feedback. He's hacking away at the EQs. And it's just, man, you're making this sound worse, dude. I kept thinking, like, obviously it's not that, dude. It's obviously not that, man. Like, try something different. I didn't say that, but I'm just kind of watching him squander. His spare mic was on, which is sitting on the ground right in front of a speaker. And so that's what kept feeding back.
Right.
And so he didn't go back and start. What he should have done was go back and start over. Mute that, EQ the room again, or he kind of figure out where he came, where he got, or how much he screwed up, then go through sound check. It was crucial for him to take that 5 minutes to redo, because his mix sounded like crap. It sounded even worse.
Right after.
And so, I had to disengage all his settings for the opener, and it sounded fine. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I remember at the end of the day, this PA sucks. I'm like, oh, it's the PA, right? Sure.
Right, yeah.
Opener sounded great. I love that. That's my favorite. This one guy, he came ripping and running. He was a crappy engineer. Again, total prick. They usually go hand in hand.
Right.
he comes like horrible mix. He's just having trouble the whole set. And so he comes ripping down side stage, right past Monitor World. He goes, man, this PA sucks. My monitor turned around and goes, my opener sounded great, man. And he told me that. Delicious.
Yep. Be able to work with what you got, man.
Yeah. Well, this PA doesn't,
Right, yeah.
Nothing in here really sucks. I mean, the room's a big old concrete shoebox, but like, it's fine. Give it a little massage, get some people in here.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, and I feel like that's what I appreciate about you, and like that, like, continued education, like always wanting to learn, like always kind of being open to like, especially with music and performing and teaching and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's that same kind of thing. Now I feel like you have to deal a whole lot with like people. So what?
Yeah,
just a minute. Like, how do those people soft skills kind of?
Yeah. I guess soft skills. I mean, I already touched on that big time. It's like, this industry is way too cool for you to be a prick.
Yeah.
This industry is way too cool for you to be in a bad mood. I mean, stuff happens. I get it. Moods change. Some of my guys have seen me pissed. Because I come in and I'm just like, all right, guys, I'm like kind of at a level.
Yeah.
I'm going to be straight up. I'm kind of at a level here of frustration and stress outside of here. I'm going to try to keep it low. But then something happens and you just go off the handle. But I'd say it's 60-40, honestly. It's a 60-40 split between technical skills and interpersonal, especially as a production manager, because I have to deal with the, on a big tour, I have to deal with tour manager, I have to deal with their production manager, their front of house, and their band. Actually, everybody. I have to deal with everybody. And so if anything goes wrong, regardless of whose fault it is, it falls onto me. And so what I try to do and what I've noticed really works is right off the rip, hospitality, welcome. Make yourself feel home. I tell my crew, like, try to remember everybody's name. Even the merch, even the merch seller, even the photographer. Like, just remember everybody's names, because that goes a long way.
Right.
And be nice. Don't be an a-hole.
Right.
You know,
it's crazy how far that'll get you.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, because like, and I've noticed like, they tend to play better.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not pissed off. They care about the, well, they always care about the show. But I've like doing this enough times that they're, if the musicians are in a better mood, if the musicians are in a comfortable mood,
right,
they're going to play better, because that's just how music works. So I mean, we're people, right? Yeah. It's not just a job. We're all people. That's most jobs you have that interactions with. I've noticed that when a band comes in, even after we're like, "Hey, I'm John," you know, I'm LD's name's Turnip, I'm Andrew, whatever. And then they go through their list of names, and we're like, "Okay, cool. You know, blah, blah, blah. Nice to meet you, Steve. Nice to meet you, Mike. Whatever." Or sometimes they just walk in. They don't say a word. They don't say anything. Or it's like, we don't get a chance to say, "Hey, okay,
right.
All right, green room, okay, whatever." And I'm this one band, this is recent. He's like on stage. My monitor engineer is like scribbling up his board, trying to get his settings ready. And this guy's just kind of getting his tone set in. Like, no one else is on stage. We're kind of getting set up. And he just starts going, "Hey, hey, you, hey," like waving on stage to my monitor engineer, who's not looking because he's doing his job. And so I like yell, I said, "His name is Luke." And it's like, dude, that pisses me off. So, and that's why I like learning people's names. Is I just don't want to say, "Hey, you, hey, guitar player, hey, bass." So I've noticed that's a huge, because that's a stereotype, man. The grumpy, jaded sound guy who couldn't make it in the music.
Right, so yeah, this so is the next best thing. Yeah.
And so that's my experience, my journey isn't that. Because I went to jazz school, so like all these other people are way better than me. I'm already into this kind of production world anyway, so I kind of I took that path. Hey, this is a welcoming crew. Cool guys. We're cool. We're a cool crew, because I have, you know, girls and guys.
Kind of like a home away from home kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that even happened the other day. Like, I, you know, remembered everybody's names, and I said, "We're like doing something." I was like, "Hey, Aaron, blah blah blah." He's like, "You remember my name?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel at home." And I'm like, "That's why I
right
why that, I do this, man, because like, he's exactly. happy, he's right. stoked about his stuff." Also, selfishly, if I screw up, they're way more lenient on a screw up. Yeah, so if I'm a prick, they're gonna be pissed that I made a mistake or screwed something up or you know whatever or something's going wrong. So interpersonal is huge.
Gotcha.
So it helps a lot being an extrovert, a crippling extrovert.
Yeah.
And so it comes easy for me, at least, because I'm doing it so long. I love small talk. Love small talk. And I encourage my crew, like, "Hey, if you play guitar, if you play keys, or you play drums, say something to the musician. Be like, "Hey, man, what is that?" Or, "Hey, is that a so-and-so?" And then same thing. They feel welcome. They feel at ease. They feel comfortable, like it's home. You know what I mean? So it's like, I encourage that interactions with the band because for all those reasons. And so as a production manager, and the only person above me is the owner, I always have to think about, how's this going to make him more money? You know what I mean? Not always, but like I'm constantly thinking that. So if the band was stoked about playing there and it was a sold out show, most times they go to the Fillmore or a bigger venue. But I've had several bands be like, "We got offered to go to Fillmore, but we're back because this place is amazing." And so it's like that helps everybody. You know what I mean? Like, love the band, obviously. And my boss gets another big old paycheck. You know what I mean? Like he gets another sold out show or whatever. And so that's crucial. And that's the thought process of me of knowing my boss for so long, is that the end of the day, he's worried about the bottom line,
right?
You know, he's not he says it all the time, "I'm not in the music business to make money,
right?
It's music business." But you know, it's nice to get paid every once in a while,
right? No, and then especially do you feel like for a lot of your freelance stuff, does that tend to be more word of mouth?
Absolutely. Oh, that's this industry,
so
man.
Then again, that kind of pulls that's, in yep, for that same...
that's this industry, man. So like my ex-wife a couple years ago, she's like, "Well, you need a LinkedIn. You need a resume." I'm like, no, because she fell into the corporate world. And I'm like, that ain't, you don't just, if someone called me and handed me a resume, I'd be like, "Here's a cable, wrap this cable." I don't really care what it says on paper.
Yeah.
Who do you know? Like, so that's the other thing. Right. Like, that's how I got the gigs at the Visualite, is because the owner there, Bernie, talked to Greg. And Greg was like, "Well, first off, he's mine."
Right.
Period. So. If we're dark, you can ask him. And so that's just how it goes. Like, you do you do a good job in front of the right people, right, you're never going to have a day off.
No.
Honestly, you're never going to have a day off.
You know, that's for our band, you know, that's how I've always been. It's like, you know, even if we did the best we could trying to pull people out and there are 10 people, you know, out there, like, I still, personal integrity, I want to play the same in front of those 10 people as I would if it were sold out. And
that's a phrase, yeah, 5 or 5,000.
Yeah.
Same show.
And it's, you know, and it's crazy. And, you know, if you do want to kind of be selfish about it, I mean, there have been times where, like, you know, that other group, you know, the other night when we were playing in Primal, it was another band. And now we're going to do, you know, they want me playing saxophone on their stuff.
There,
so
you
we're
go.
Doing, you
yeah,
know, and
that's,
it's
exactly
like,
right, dude. That's how this works. Just, yeah. That's exactly how this industry works. I remember,
I love it.
One of my other LDs, he's 21. He's just getting into the industry. And he's like, man, you know, we're drinking a shifty after the show. And he's like, man, how do I make it in this industry? I'm like, I hate it, dude, but I don't know. You just keep your head down. You do the right thing. You always try to strive to get better. And you just wait for that one person to do it. You know, like, you just, you never know. You never know. Like, like, looking back on the string of events that got me where I am, dumb luck. I hate dumb luck. Like, one phone call was like, hey, man, I need a job.
Right.
Yeah, you know, a buddy of mine, when I moved back to Charlotte, he worked for an AV company. I was like, hey, man, I need a job. Just moved. He's like, well, actually, we're hiring an audio guy. And then I'm like, great, perfect. It's corporate and whatever. Learned a lot, though, which is funny. Uh-huh. And then someone that worked there also worked here. Uh-huh. And so then they were like, oh, we really need audio, you know, front of house engineers. And I'm like, yeah.
Right.
And so I was just the guy that had the most availability. And again, just random stuff. And that's what I told him. I was like, that's such a crappy answer.
Right.
To give to a, especially that 21-year-old.
Right. Looking for the cheat code answer.
Yeah, yeah, so. Exactly. It's like, I don't know. You just got to keep doing what you're doing, man. It takes time. I hate that because I'm super impatient. Very impatient person. And so this side of it, knowing that over the past 10 years or however long, I've been truly interested in it. Dumb luck. Dumb luck, man. It's the same thing in the music, but it's the same thing as a musician. It's just like, you can be an amazing musician, just a ripper of a guitar player. You just wind up being 40 playing at bars your whole life.
Exactly.
Which sucks. Yeah. But, you know, and someone who's like mildly talented gets picked up by Columbia or Atlantic or somewhere in Nashville and explode to be a superstar.
Yeah.
That's just dumb luck, man. Crumbles. Life ain't fair. Right. Life ain't fair. Again, this is, you know, the production manager of Neighborhood Theater saying that. But, you know, it's dumb luck. It's dumb luck.
What is one piece of advice if you could kind of like shake, you know, get your younger self by the collar, you know, make sure that was drilled into his head?
Yeah. So back up in when I was in college, the head guy of the music tech program, remember, he said, he was like teaching a class one day and he's like, remember, guys, always take the gig. Even if you don't know how to do it, always take the gig and figure it out. Worst advice I've ever gotten in my career, ever. Because I'm in my early 20s, and someone's like, hey, can you do this gig? I'm like, yeah. And then you make up yourself, because you have no idea what you're doing. Everyone knows you don't know what you're doing. And you sure as hell ain't getting that call back.
No.
You know, you're not doing the right thing in front of the right people. Doing the wrong thing in front of the right people. And so if I could shake my younger self, it's like, dude, don't take that gig. No. If you don't know how to do it, be honest about it.
Right.
Learn how to do that gig. Yeah. So the next time someone asks you, you are ready to do it.
Kind of like a personal reputation too. I mean, some of those things can take a while to kind of wipe that mud off. So
I wasn't invited back to even just a crappy bar gig because I screwed it up big time because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so that kind of put me back a step.
Right.
Because I live in Asheville, and Asheville is a very small town. Not everybody knew, but like within that level
within
of
that circle,
engineers and owners and musicians and stuff. So it took a while to kind of recover from that.
Man. Well, thank you again for being here. I personally, like, I learned so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I love
you so much.
Again, I'm obsessed with this industry. So I love talking about it. I love chatting with people and love it. Can't get enough of it. Literally.